Right now, though, what we got to do is check out that leaderboard at the PGA.
Yeah, we got ourselves a winner, and the winner is Brooks Koepka. And Brooks now has his fourth major in 8 attempts. It is the best stretch since Eldrick Woods, otherwise known as Tiger, won 7 of 11, if you can imagine that, back around 2001-2002. And, you know, we sat here on Friday and we said, if somehow this guy gets to 12 under, then it's over. And it was. We were right. He got to 12 under. And he had a nice 7-stroke lead going into the weekend, which was huge and historic. And, you know, guys tried to fight and claw on Saturday, and they made no, they couldn't get any closer. He had a 7-stroke lead going into Sunday.
Now, he didn't separate at all. He played par golf on Saturday, correct?
Dead even.
Okay.
And which is what he said that, you know.
Okay.
What do you need to do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got the biggest lead ever. And so going into Sunday, he's got the 7-stroke lead, and it was just a matter of how much was he going to win by. And I really wanted him to win by double digits because Tiger's the only guy who has ever won by double digits in a major going back to 1899. So the list is short. It's Tiger who's done it twice. So I wanted Brooks to do that. And to be honest with you, when he was sitting there on number 10 with a 6-stroke lead, he the hardest hole in the course, he stuffs it to about a foot, makes his birdie, Dustin Johnson bogey, the lead is 6, and I'm like, I think he's going to make a couple of more birdies coming in, and I think that DJ is going to press because you got to. At that point, you got to start making your move and
take
some chances, and I thought he was going to win by 10. But here comes, well, first off, here came the wind. So there was one guy in the last 12 groups that played that golf course at under par. 12 groups. That's 24 of the best golfers in the world playing their absolute best. One guy was under par, and that was DJ. And DJ started making birdies, but more importantly, Brooks, the big wind and whatever else, started finally getting to that cyborg. And he starts missing fairways, and not only missing fairways where he's been able to get out of the rough all week. The lies were so bad that he had no shot, none whatsoever. And so he starts pitching out and hitting balls over the green on par threes and three-putting. He three-putted twice. Dude, it got to him. So this man who, before the tournament started, or before Sunday started, or Saturday night, they were like, so what's your resting heart rate like? Compared, you know, when you're on the couch compared to in a major. And first off, he goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they explain it to him, and he goes, well, there's no difference. It's the same. I don't change. And so he's positioned himself as this guy that
pressure. Which is impossible, by the way.
The pressure doesn't even matter.
Right. He's unflappable.
Well, it matters. And
boy, you could see it yesterday.
When you start. It's one thing to miss when the wind is blowing like that, and it was a bitch. That golf course, I can't even imagine what a normal human being would shoot out there on a day like yesterday when everybody is blowing up. But you combine that with the pressure, and then you make one bogey and two bogeys. It's one thing to miss fairways. It's another thing for a guy that has been rock solid on the greens to start three-putting. And really, he almost three-putted like 3 times. Three more times, because he was leaving his second putts 5-6 feet away. It was getting to him.
So not only is he hitting a really icy patch, unfortunate situations with the wind, but man, the fact that he's walking down that fairway right in front of the leaderboard, seeing that he's got a 1-stroke lead and hearing cheers, or maybe seeing that he had a 2-stroke lead, hearing the cheers and the chance of DJ just a hole over, knowing damn good and well that thing's about to flip to 1.
So I heard people, look, you know, Koepka's not Tiger. Koepka's not Rory. Koepka's not Spieth, for that matter. He's still, even though he's got 4 majors now, He's not one of these guys that people are in love with at all.
I don't think they like him at all.
Because he is a robot and he shows very little emotion.
Dude, the second DJ started making his little push, that gallery shifted so fast.
Well, and
hell, I even texted you. I go, I'm so rooting for DJ right now.
Think about this, though. Think about what they want. This is a New York crowd, and I think they're a bunch of jackasses, by the way.
Yeah.
But this is a New York crowd that paid X amount of dollars to attend this tournament, and what they want is a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing was over with Thursday morning on the third hole when Koepka took the lead. They have had nothing for 4 days.
They've had
to
no
get
competition.
Excited. Nothing.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
It's a drunk fest. You just go out there and you're like, dude, I got tickets. Do you want to go? Why? It's over. I don't know. Just come with me.
And,
let's just go have fun.
Feel pretty and
walk
the course.
Right. And suddenly,
something happened.
A nothing tournament turned into holy crap. And that lead got cut to one. And here's the rub is that DJ could play really free and easy. It was a 6-stroke lead and DJ had 6 holes left. A 6-stroke lead, DJ's got 6 left, Brooks has 8 left. He's thinking, I don't got a shot. And he didn't know what was going on behind it, but he happened to make a birdie when Brooks made a bogey, and that gets cut to 4, and then it got cut to 2, and then it got cut to 1. And then DJ walks up to 16, down 1, where 6-hole lead had been cut, in half, or almost all the way down in like 3 holes. He looks up and he's like, uh-oh. And the pressure got to him.
Yeah. It shifted.
Yes. Like, okay, I can't really play all loosey-goosey. I'm in it. I may win my second major, and I know how difficult these things are to come by.
And, if I win this one, this is historic.
It's historic.
It's the biggest meltdown choke job,
right?
Loss of a lead in golf history.
Yes, it is.
How many times you see it, though? The guy gets out there and just thinks he has no shot. Starts just letting it all hang out, play loosey-goosey, just go out there, hit some balls, hit it as well as you can, have a little fun while you're out there. And then the next thing you know, he's in it.
Right. And then that's when them booty holes get tight.
That's right.
And that was the difference. And that's what I was leading to is when that thing got to within one, I was thinking, whose booty hole going to be less tight? And it was Brooksy.
I give Brooks a lot of credit.
Tons of credit because he could have easily just went long bad bathroom in his pants and just flushed that thing down the toilet.
He made 4 straight bogeys and he steps up on 15 hearing the chants of DJ.
Can you imagine what that must have felt like?
No.
He was giving me chills and I was sitting on a couch.
And he said, and he talked with Tom Rinaldi after the golf tournament was over with. And Tom asked him, what that was like. And, well, first off, he did have a 7-stroke lead to play with. And as he says here, there's a reason that you try to do something like that. Here.
Lead, and that's why you play so well Thursday through Saturday.
Arrive today.
Yeah, it's different. It's a spot I've never been into. I mean, I had it the day before, but it's a whole lot different on Sunday. That's why you build that lead, and that's why you play so well Thursday through Saturday. You want to build a little bit of cushion in case you do screw up.
It's clear what you had to win today, but if you're honest, what did you have to lose?
I had a lot to lose. If you want to talk about, hey, no one's ever lost a major championship with the 7-shot lead, I've heard that all for about, maybe 12 hours. My caddy, I guess, said to my coach today, it was pretty funny, they just told me when we were back there, I guess we're going to make history one way or another.
The 4 bogeys in a row, walking off the 14th, what's the self-talk in your head, being honest?
I was disappointed. I was pissed off. I was upset. And then all of a sudden, I heard a bunch of DJ chants. Mm-hmm. And when I heard DJ chants going on, it was the best thing to happen to me.
Why?
It kind of built a little bit of chip on my shoulder that we've always talked about, that something, you got to find something. And the minute and a half walk to the 15th tee, all right, well, I see where we're at. I see what I'm up against, and let's prove the fans wrong.
Brooks Koepka, he grabbed the hole.
So he gets up there and
used that for good.
Yeah, which is amazing. I would have cried. Seriously.
Yeah.
I would have just sat there and wept.
Like, they hate me.
Right.
They don't want me to win. And when it, in like all likelihood is what you said, that they were wanting competition.
Yeah.
They wanted to see a tournament, and now it was happening. So you got to cheer for the underdog at that point.
Right.
It's just human nature.
Exactly.
Everybody wants the good game.
And that one-stroke lead turned into three-stroke lead very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
DJ had a couple of bogeys. He crapped the bed, and then you know it was essentially over. It was a walk in the park, walking up there for the last hole at least for Brooksy. But here's what I'm thinking now with four majors. And again, we talked about this a lot last week. What are we seeing here? What's going on? And we'll get into more of that at 5:50. But here's what I think is happening as far as him winning multiple U.S. Opens and multiple PGAs. These courses are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They're set up They set them up in similar ways where the length of these courses are, it's ridiculous how far these guys have to hit the ball. And that's why these long hitters are winning these tournaments now, growing the rough out, you know, exponentially to where if you do hit it in it, it's super penal. But they've found a guy, or he's created this himself, that they weren't expecting. It's one thing to look like Tiger in his prime. Or to look, there's lots of guys jacked up. Rory's jacked up from a golf perspective. Brooks is jacked up from an NFL perspective. He's huge. And he is longer than anybody else. He hits the softest little sweet butter cut that hardly ever gets him in trouble. 325, 330 yards, 340 yards. He is cutting 40, 50 yards off every hole. And like you see him play with Jordan on Saturday, he makes Jordan Spieth, who is one of the best players in the world.
What was my comparison when they were walking down the fairway together?
Oh, yeah,
It looks like an orangutan on steroids walking next to Pee Wee Herman.
Yes.
And Jordan's not some scrawny little waif.
No, not at all. But I mean,
Brooks
it's not
just has this presence.
It's not only Brooks looking that way. It's, you know, he hits it 50 yards further than these people, and it's intimidating. And so when he hits it 50 yards further than you do and you're in the rough and you're 185 yards out,
mm-hmm.
and he's 135 yards out and you're hitting a four iron that you can't get out of there, he's hitting a wedge and he can get out of it. And so these courses that they thought that they were always going to win, the course would always win,
mm-hmm.
they're not winning anymore because of him. He is the outlier, the ultimate golf outlier right now.
He's got the 12-pounder on the tour.
Oh, my God.
And then some.
He is, I don't really know what to say other than...
He knows it, too.
Oh, boy, does he ever know
it. He loves him some him.
Yeah, he does. But he's got the confidence. He's hitting the ball better than anybody else is on tour. Now, I don't think he's going to win the U.S. Open this year because it's at Pebble Beach and it's not set up like a traditional. It's at Pebble Beach because of the history. But most of these courses are just overly long. Pebble's not that way. You have to carve some shots in there and it's a lot different. And I don't think that he's going to win that golf tournament. Plus, it would be 3 years in a row and no one's ever done that and that's stupid. So that's just not going to happen. But for the next 7-8 years, you're looking at a guy that is going to be the favorite on these golf courses. For the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open because of the way they're set up and because of who he is. And so, yeah, when I said that he's going to get to double-digit majors, that's where he's going to get to him on those two tournaments.
What about Britain? What about the British Open?
Those are shorter courses. You know, he'll have to really learn how to play those courses. It takes people so long.
Those might be later in life
yes.
tournaments that he wins.
Yeah.
Finesse becomes a part of the game.
Yeah.
Got to go...